This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. In this special podcast, Your Mom, you know what?
Your Mom's a Podcast. Yeah, Your Mom's a Podcast.
Here we interview incredible people and their moms to be like, excuse me, how did you do it?
I'm Sundeep Parikh. You're
Milana Vayantrub.
And we're both two LA-based comedians and actors, and we're also new parents, and we need help.
So we're going to talk to people who are incredible and inspiring and change the world, crack us up, all of the above.
And learn to be better parents. And also learn to have some compassion for our parents.
Yeah, who maybe did some things a little wonky or a little perfect, because look at us, we turned out to be perfect people.
So welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast.
Today on the show, we have Jordan Black, who's an actor, writer, comedian, showrunner, improviser. The guy is incredibly funny, incredibly wise, the father to four children. Mm-hmm.
No big deal, by the way. I mean, that's not a so big deal, but no big deal that he was a writer on Saturday Night Live.
The Last OG.
Last Man Standing.
And a recent reboot of The Wonder Years.
Yeah. And he's also a face that you've seen on Community or Ballers. Or the Groundling stage. I'm just going to say this. Maybe the funniest improviser I have ever had the absolute privilege of improvising with.
Which
stage is
saying a lot, because you've improvised with me. And I'm...
Yeah, he is far and above, way above anyone else that I've ever improvised with.
A little far.
Just so there. Leagues. Leagues.
You can tone it down a notch. Okay, let's do it. Jordan, so as you may know, or maybe don't know, is we did a pre-interview with your mom, and we asked her a series of questions, and now we are going to ask you those questions to see how those answers may vary due to perspectives. So, and just so, because we've never met before, you have how many children?
My daughters will be three on Sunday. Then my oldest daughter, my second daughter just turned one this past Sunday. And then my son, who's my youngest, he's 9.5 months. So my daughter, who's one, we're in the process of adopting. So we got her when she was 2 days old and my wife was 7 months pregnant. We didn't plan it.
I'm glad you clarified. I was wondering about your partner's gestation
period.
Be incredible turnaround.
And then we also, though, we have a former foster son who's almost three and a half, who's still a big part of our family. So he was like here for the last 3 weeks, and we still get him a lot of weekends, you know. So really, we have four kids, but we only have three full time.
I love how much of your life you must give to kids.
It's all of it.
It's like there must have been a moment you just like decided to kind of go all in with being a parent. And clearly when you pushed all the chips in, you like pushed it all in all at once. Like, can you speak a little bit to like the intentionality around that?
We were trying to have kids for a long time and it was a struggle. And then when we finally got pregnant we always knew we wanted to have children, but we also knew we always wanted to adopt. And so we started looking at the foster to adopt program through LA County. And we started that program even before we ever got pregnant with our first child. And our plan was to adopt our first child, then get pregnant. That was our plan. So that we started that way, but then it just didn't work out that way because we weren't keeping any of the children we were fostering. And because they were ugly.
Is it because they were cuter than you and you couldn't
stand
them?
You nailed me. See, you know me so well already. But no, it's because they moved on to go to family members and things like that. And so when my wife got pregnant.
That must be hard. Was that challenging in those moments?
Yeah, or were you like. That is an understatement. Yes.
Yeah. It's okay.
Very difficult.
Oh,
very,
man, that's hard. Because you're also like happy for them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Have this.
Yep. You are. But you also sad because you know you're going to miss your kid.
Yeah. And we're going to get to the questions, but I'm so curious about like. You're like, oh, we wanted to adopt them. What was the motivation behind that? Did you have an experience that you know, growing up, where you?
I mean, it's a couple of things.
One, inspired
I
to do that.
Even before I met my wife, I always knew I wanted to adopt a child.
Yeah.
Always knew that. I don't know why. It just was something I was just like, people do that. I should. That honestly just sounded like fun. Like, oh, a kid I didn't make myself that becomes part of the family. That'd be great.
So for funsies is basically.
For funsies. Totally for funsies.
Got it.
Because we are an older couple having kids, we knew we weren't going to be pregnant four times and we wanted four kids.
Got it.
Wow.
And okay. So we're like, well, it kind of worked out. Like we'll have one or two, you know, through getting pregnant and then we'll adopt two or three, depending on whatever gets us to four. And so, it kind of just worked out that way that we ended up with the four we have because once we weren't able to adopt so many of the kids we were fostering, then it just became like, well, we'll just see what happens now. You know, we had to see two boys, two girls, and then it just became whatever we could get and it ended up being two boys, two girls anyway. So
So you got what you
dreamt
called out.
Of.
Yeah, dreamt. Yeah, just not in the way that we thought, you know, was it.
Can you talk to me just because I don't know anything about this process, but my husband and I have also been curious about adoption and I don't actually know at all what's in the cards for us. But when you receive the call that there is a foster kid available for you, what's the next step? And then also emotionally, how do you prepare yourself?
Well, when you get the call, the way it works with LA County is you have 30 minutes to decide because then they're going to call the next name on the list.
Wow.
So pretty much once you have agreed to be on that list, you've accepted that you want them to call you and that you want, but they give you like you let them know ahead of time what you're looking for, like newborn, what age, 0 to 3s or what, you know what I mean? Like it could be whatever you tell them you want. Boy, girl, race, any of that. So you kind of know. So they'll call you based on what you asked for. Well, they tell you ahead of time, though, sometimes those calls come and they'll say, oh, we have a little boy. He's this, he's that. And then it'll show up and it'll be a girl. That happened in our first call. It was twins and they said they were two little girls. And they came and my wife looked to the social worker, dropped them off like, don't think this one's a, just by the face, like, doesn't seem like a girl's face. And it was not a girl. So that happened. They give me wrong, you know, because it's all happening so fast for even for the
right. Wow.
And then.
Wow.
And I'm sure it's just like one of the many underfunded government programs.
Yes.
And there are.
And what is gender?
Yes. Yes.
You know.
And emotionally, when they're coming, wild. It's great. You're excited. Fall in love immediately. Mm-hmm. You start planning their entire future as soon as you see their face. And, you know, you just never know.
Well. Let's get into the sort of the show here in the sense that, because I think we're going to learn a lot about Jordan via your mom. I had the awesome opportunity to interview her.
He would not shut up about her.
I was like, and I love my mom, but I'm like, can I have can I adopt a second mom? Is that a thing you can do? She was such a love.
She would love that.
And I mean, she was like around, she's like nannying, right? So she was like around children even during the interview, just like you are right now. So I can see that trait was passed down. But what would you say is your best trait according to your mom?
As just a person or a dad?
Now, we just asked.
Okay,
Jordan's best trait?
What I say is my best trait? I mean, you know, humility?
Yeah,
I'm kidding. best trait? I would say maybe generosity. I try to, like, you know, be generous to others.
Says the guy who had adopted and fostered children. And yeah, and I think that
continues
that
to give us his time.
I guess I'm trying to think what my mom might say, but this isn't like, you know, Newlyweds. I don't have to get it right. I don't have to match.
Oh, I did forget. I am going to give you gold stars depending on whether you get it right or wrong. Now, the gold stars are meaningless, but I'm going to give them to you anyway if you do match.
And I will just be judging you.
Right. I also
without any merit.
I can tell
all.
By your tone that that's where we were going.
I am an evil hag.
Yeah, I'm the reward parent. She's the consequence.
It's good. It's good cop, bad cop here.
Yeah, it's balanced though. It's good. There's
balance.
Let's see what mom said.
His kindness.
Oh.
His patience. You know. He's patient, kind, and trusting. You can trust him. You know, he keeps his word, all that.
She listed a lot of great traits. None of them were generous. No gold star. However, clearly lots of love from mama.
Do
you think that tracks?
Well, it's hard for me to say all those things about myself. I would say that I try to do the work that would, that, you know, that would hopefully lead to those good places.
What if she was like bankable actor?
I'll take that.
A likable face, castable.
Castable.
Very
imminently castable. Well, you can even tell in the the dulcet tones of her voice, like how kind and nurturing she is.
Oh my God, I got goosebumps when she talks. Okay, let's move on to our next question.
Okay.
What is your most annoying habit?
Oh, talking. I talk too much. I talk a lot. I'm a talker.
Talker. Okay.
Let's see what mom says.
What does mama say?
His most annoying habit probably for some people was he sucked his thumb. I think he kind of grew out of it mostly because, you know, he was in school. I think he stopped when he was in kindergarten, you know, because children tease you.
Yeah, I guess we should have qualified. She ended up taking the question as, you know, growing up.
Okay.
Well, I assume. I don't know.
I was probably the same. I talked too much growing up as a kid, for sure. But yes, it's funny that she would go, like, and I was in the third grade, but thank you, Mom, for believing it was kindergarten. I didn't get teased at school because when I started first grade, I didn't suck my thumb at school anymore.
You'd, like hide in the corner at recess and get a couple quick suckles in, and then
I'd been told, like, oh, you're a big boy now, you can't suck your thumb. I was like, well, I can't suck it in front of the other big kids, but, you know, what I do in the privacy of my own home, you know, which is exactly what my life was. So it pretty much ended up being I just sucked my thumb when I went to bed.
Yeah.
Until I was 8 years old, until I was in the third grade.
It's amazing that you remember so clearly. Do you remember it being like having to wean yourself? I mean,
I remember, Sandeep, I tell people all the time, it's not cute when your kid sucks their thumb because it's going to be hard to get them to quit.
Yeah,
and it is hard. And I didn't just quit. It's not like I figured out one morning I woke up and I realized I hadn't sucked my thumb because I had my hand under my pillow, under my head. And I just did that every night. And that's how I stopped.
Oh, wow.
No control over. I had no way. I wanted to stop because I didn't want to be teased. I didn't want to be a baby. And so that I got lucky. But like I have relatives who suck their thumbs as kids. And I always ask their spouses, do they still suck their thumb? And I've yet to get them no. I'm talking about people in their 40s and 50s. And they're like, yep. They still, because it's hard. It's like it is a drug. Like it's, you can't.
It's soothing. It's self-soothing.
Yeah. Self-soothing.
You know, so two things about that. One is my lactation consultant, when I first had my son who was helping me nurse, told me that kids who suck their thumbs ultimately end up being better self-soothers, like
that's
being
true.
More confident leaders because they can regulate their nervous system because they always have access to
by
their
themselves.
Thing.
Yeah. I'm going to start sucking my thumb again. This sounds like it would be very therapeutic.
But how would you feel? Do any of your kids suck their thumbs?
Our oldest, our one that we have part-time. He sucks his thumb. He's like my wife and I both sucked our thumbs as kids. But you know, none of our kids suck their thumb except for our very oldest who isn't ours biologically. And here's the thing, it's so adorable. Like, it doesn't bother me. I just remember being harassed by every adult I ever met. Like, you got something, get that boy to take his thumb out of his mouth. Then you got to stop something from your thumb. And it's like, it is going to be very difficult for him to quit whatever it becomes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you are not pressuring him
yeah,
to quit.
Yeah,
not remotely. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like your mom didn't either, right? Like, no, she wasn't the one pushing that.
I remember her saying things to me, like, every year when I got a year older, she go, oh, now that you're five, are you going to stop sucking your thumb? Now that you're six, are you going to stop sucking your thumb? And I'd always say, yes. And I but then it was just like, well, yeah. No, I got to go to sleep.
I'm addicted. Yeah.
I do love, though, the like, there's like an egolessness to being like, I don't care that all these uncles and aunties or these other people like have this judgment of my kid. Like, he's not doing anyone any harm. And
it's adoring.
And it's cute to me.
It's soothing to him. It is actually helpful to him.
Right.
And you're not there putting him to sleep. So what do you have anything to say about this? I felt this way. I had an uncle, my son uses a pacifier, and I had an uncle be like, he's still using a pacifier. And it took everything in me to not backhand this man in the face. I'm like, what the are you judging my toddler?
My two-year-old?
My two-year-old? How dare you?
My thing is always like, they won't be running for Senate with a pacifier in their mouth.
Exactly.
Or wearing diapers. That's not going to be a thing. So it's fine.
Unless it becomes a TikTok that everyone's doing, they're not going to be doing
that's
it.
That's right.
Right.
Next up, we asked your mom, when did you realize that your son was going to be a professional writer and comedian in Hollywood? And I just want to say before we play this tape back, because I want you to try to answer.
Yeah.
Because she answered so specifically to this question.
I bet I knew what her answer is.
Not just when, she answered where.
Oh, okay. So, I know this story very well.
Okay.
You want me to tell it?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, tell your version of it.
She's
going to
say I was 7. And I was in the bathtub, and it's something along the lines I said, like, she always tells this version of it. Well, I said, Mom, when I grow up, I'm moving to L.A., and I don't know what you're saying. Oh, you're my baby, and you can't leave me because I'm going to go. Some version of that.
Wow.
Okay.
What foresight.
Well,
that you knew how she would respond to you leaving.
Well, it's a famous story in our family because... I say I was 8, and she says I was 7. I don't remember the bathtub part.
Still during the thumb-sucking era of your life.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yep.
Let's hear the mom.
He's always been funny all his life. When he was, I'll never forget, when he was 7 years old, and he was sitting in the bathtub, and he told me he was going to be in Hollywood. And I used to laugh about it when he was a child because I used to say, well, you know, all children talk about going to Hollywood and stuff like that. And we lived in a small town, you know, where it was just not even thinkable. And he told me, he said, Mom, I'm going to be a star in Hollywood. And I said, okay, darling. I said, you sure will. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be wherever you want to be, you know. And so I used to say to myself, oh, God, he'll change his mind 1,000 times. But he never changed his mind.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to give you, first of all, I'm giving you 2 stars for this because you got the when and the where on. But I do, so do you think that this is actually what happened or?
I mean,
do you think it's
possible. Thank you. In my memory... I remember being 8, and I can't remember why I remember it that way. Yes, thank you for chiming in. It's your moment. I can't remember why I believe there was a time where I was like, it was so specific. But
yeah,
because I remember telling my mom, this is what I remember. My mother, in no bathtub, this is the version of the story I remember. I remember my mother asking me one day, not in the bathtub, what do you want to be when you grew up? And I had not thought about this question before. And I thought to myself, I had this thing I used to do just in my imagination as a little kid all by myself where I would pretend I was on a sitcom, that my life was a sitcom, meaning like, oh, the camera's on and I'm just living my life and this is a show. And funny people, I was thinking this, you know, I was just something I play because I used to love to watch TV, of course.
Yep.
And so so one day my mother said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I thought about that fact. I go, I want to be a movie star. Now, I was thinking TV. I didn't know the difference between TV and movies. But I said, I want to be a movie star. And then later, and I don't know how much time went by because it could have been, as far as I know, it could have been 6 months. It could have been 2 years. She called me one day and she was like, she called me in her room. She's like, do you want to take drumming? And I was like, yes, I want to take drumming. Yeah, drums and play the drums. And then when I got to her room, it was drama, she had said. Acting. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that too. Great. We hadn't thought about being an actor. And she asked me, you know, by telling her that. But once I took that drama class, it was, and that was in fourth grade for sure, when I would have been 8 or 9. And so and I would have been 8 for sure. And so I took that drama class and I never looked back after that. It was during the school, drama classes.
It's so cool when she talks about, like, you know, wanting to just support whatever your dream is. Like, how do you think about that in your parenting now? Like,
you know what? I mean, I didn't know until I was an adult that not all parents tell their kids that they can be whatever they want to be. And if you want to be and at 17, moved to Hollywood straight out of high school by yourself. And they go like, you do it. I believe in you. I didn't know that was rare. So I have no choice but to support my kids' dreams because that's what was given to me. But I asked now as an adult, I've asked my mother about, like, wait, when you dropped me off, you know, to move to L.A., were you scared? She's like, yeah. She said, but I couldn't let you know I was scared because I didn't want you to be scared. You know? And so I think about it with my kids. Of course, I'm going to 100% support their dreams, but it's going to be very hard, I think, to do what my mother, like, if my 17-year-old was like, you know, I want to move to Istanbul to, like, you know, do what the...
Be an assassin.
Yeah.
What if they want to be something terrible, like an EDM DJ?
Exactly. But I would have to say, go for it. Like, it would be so just hypocritical of me to go like, no, you should be try college first. Or, you know, my mother didn't do any, like, have something to fall back on. She just said, go for it. And she had all the concerns, but she didn't let me know, which gave me all the confidence I needed. I always tell people that my confidence came from the fact that when I was a kid, I said I wanted to be an actor. My mother said, then you'll do it. You'll succeed. Go for it. So when other voices came in, you know, friends, you know, teachers, whatever, that's crazy. You can't do that. It didn't matter because when you're very small, you think your parents know everything. Mm-hmm. So whatever they tell you, you believe it. So the foundation had already been laid that, like, well, no, the smartest person on earth already told me I could do it. So it didn't matter what anyone else had to say about it because I'd already been told by the people who I know knows everything.
There's a principle now that's kind of going around in parents' psychology and in parenting where we're realizing this more and more that our thoughts, our beliefs are really imprinted on our kids. And that's why we do things now like say affirmations with our kids and talk about how capable they are. And not even just like you're smart or you're pretty, but really like you're brave and you're a creative thinker. And
you couldn't do that thing yesterday and you did it today. Just like letting them know that they're their achievements without necessarily being like, now you're the best in the world. It's more like, wow, you accomplished something that you couldn't do yesterday.
And
I think all that stuff
becomes a way, the way that we talk to them becomes the way that they talk to themselves.
Yes.
I'm a big words or spells person.
Yeah.
I believe words are spells and you can cast good spells, you can cast really bad spells. It just takes, and it's actually a lot easier to cast an evil spell because it only takes one person of authority or someone that you admire to be like, I think your art's not very good, to cast a really terrible spell in your heart and make you feel like, oh man, maybe my art's not very good. Which is what I heard from an art teacher when I was in fourth grade.
Yeah. And, you know, I had an art teacher that told me I was great, and that really informed a lot of my decision making.
But it takes a lot more. It takes a lot more of the positive spells to, like, counteract some of the negative spells.
So I think we've all agreed that we're going to support our kids' dreams unless they want to be podcasters.
Yeah, then...
And in that case, we'll be like, the market's already saturated. Please.
Everybody got a podcast.
Well, the thing I do understand is that most parents... The reason they, you know, crush their kids' dreams is not because they're evil. It's because they want the best for their kid. And they're like, don't go down this road that is going to just break your heart. I want you to go down a road where you actually can succeed. And so in doing that, we end up, you know, crushing their dreams.
But I think the truth is, like, what do we know? Exactly. Like, how do we actually know what's going to elevate them or not? And so maybe they do become a successful financial planner, but miserable.
But what if I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be an NBA, you know, center.
Then I, at 5 foot six.
I think what I'd like to say. I think what I'd like to say is you go and do everything you can to try to be that, and you will land. It's the self-sorting thing. Sandeep and I constantly talk about this. Life is a self-sorting process where you, the more you are ultimately yourself, the more you will, your authentic self, the more you will find people who are attracted to you when you're your authentic self. Yep. And I think that's true for this basketball dream. If this is your authentic drive, then go chase it and you will, life is self-sorting. You will find the place that is right for you.
You have to allow them their journey, even if it's 5'6" and want to be a center in the NBA, take that journey, see where it leads you. Because it will probably lead you somewhere you like because you're going after something you want. You know, you may not end up at that destination, but you may end up, you know, owning a team or whatever it is, like, and realizing that there's more ways to fulfill your dreams than just the one you had in mind.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jordan, we've established that your mother is very lovely and a saint, but what would she say is the worst habit that she passed on to you?
What is a bad habit she might? I mean, really the talking, but I won't use that answer twice, but because everybody in my family is a big talker, so for sure, over talking.
That's a wonderful quality.
Yeah, I think that's a great habit
in our world.
Well, on the podcast.
Especially for a podcast guest here. quite necessary.
Oh, I can tell you, I'm not great with like household chores and things. And I blame her because she didn't make me really do. I was the baby. So all the really hard chores were already taken by the time I came along. My wife taught me how to do laundry. And I met my wife when I was. She taught me how to do laundry.
I totally relate to this as the baby of my family.
And so when I got married and my wife was like, well, I'm not a housekeeper. I was like, I told my mother, like, this is your fault that I cannot stand housework at all because it's not a habit I ever developed.
Yeah.
So how do you cope with that now?
I'm better.
Because more children just means more housework.
Oh, God, I'm better. We do have a housekeeper once a week that comes and helps out. And then I learned how to do dishes and load and unload the dishwasher. Still don't like any of it, but nobody likes doing it. But
no, I hate it.
but I just wish it had been a habit already, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still good at passing blame. Yeah. So why don't we hear what your mom said?
He'll get on me about my bad habits, you know, when he was growing up, you know. Because, you know, when boys grow up and they have a mom, they come from a single mother, of course, they grow up thinking that they're going to be smarter than you and they make your decisions. Because the situation reverses after, you know, children grow up to a certain age. And my sons all think they're my dads.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes, I mean, I'm better now. But that was definitely the dynamic. In my 20s, I was just like, you need to do this and you should be doing that and you need to do this. And then I learned over time that that was annoying.
Yeah, she sort of refused to admit necessarily that you have a bad habit. Really. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to talk smack about my son. That was the impression that I got when I asked those questions.
I'm just curious about that son-mother dynamic, because I have a son. I am not a single mom, I think I did a lot of parenting of my mom. So I'm not sure if it's a boy mom thing or if it's just a kid mom thing. You know, I come from a family of immigrants, so my parents didn't speak English that well. So I think that came with part of the parenting dynamic, which is just like, I know a little bit more about certain things than you do.
Interesting.
But I'm wondering what that was for you.
You know, it was interesting because when I heard my mom talking just now in your interview with her, she said something I'd never thought of before, because she was saying, because we were boys, we thought we were smarter than her, which I was like, that's probably true because society teaches us that, well, men know more than women. So we probably did grow up, and when we became adults, thinking like, okay, little lady, you know, you know what I mean? Like, just because that's just the messages you're constantly sent.
Yeah, we're steeped in patriarchy. Yeah.
Yes, we're steeped in it. And I'm sure that's where she was coming from. And and so I would say definitely as we became adults, we did, all of me and my brothers all thought like, I'll take care of mom. Don't worry about it. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm on, you know, something like, and then at a certain point I realized, oh, she's older than me and she knows way more than me. And now I'm gonna start listening to her, which there was a certain point in my 20s when I realized my mother knows what she's talking about and I should listen. She's already dogs. And it really changed our dynamic.
I'm so glad you came to that realization, and I hope you apologized to her.
Oh, I apologize, Milana, so many times for my late teens and 20s behavior.
It's just interesting the way she phrased it, though, is like that you guys all felt like you were the dads.
Yeah.
How was that experience, you know, being raised by a single mom? And now that you're a parent and you have a co-parent with you, you have a, you know, a partner that's there with you the whole time through all this. Do you look at her, you know, with more reverence or like, you know?
Honestly, and you're going to find this, you may be disturbed by this. No, I have less reverence because I go, you're crazy to have done this by yourself. I would have stayed with anybody, a jerk. I don't care.
Yeah.
One kid is too many for one person. One kid is way too many.
It seems insane. I agree. You're right. Like, in the sense that, like, I can't fathom.
I can't fathom. And we were close in age. So she wasn't getting any help from the older kids.
Yeah.
We're all close. Yeah. So, like, I literally had this conversation with her after going through this with a few kids, foster kids, and all that. And I said to her, I said, Moms, I used to have so much respect for you as a single mom and doing it on your own. I said, nah, I don't anymore. I think you're crazy. Crazy to do this on your own. Like, no, it's a hard no. It is a hard no. And I understand people are in situations that it's not their choice to be single parents. Yeah, but it was like that thing where I go like, I wouldn't. And she kind of was fine with it the way she described it. Like, she always wanted to have kids. She didn't want to be married. And so that's what she did. And that was her dream. Mm. And she lived it. And I go, no.
That was her Hollywood.
God, I respect her so much. I respect her so much to just be like, I will not sacrifice my own happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it might just be easier. I will do the hard thing if it means living my truth.
And you nailed it, Milana, because that is why I had a happy childhood, because it was a happy home. My mom was happy. She had her kids, which is what she wanted. She was a teacher, which is what she wanted. Like, she was making no money, but living her dream. So we were, you know, we were broke, and there was financial struggles, but we were happy because my mom set that example. She was happy. She was a happy person. So I got to have a happy childhood, not living with somebody who, not being raised by somebody who wishes that they were doing something else or chasing after men or whatever it was. She was living her dream. And that's also, you know, is why I was able to pursue my dreams and find happiness in my life, because that was the example that I saw.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I still think it's crazy to be a single parent. I don't know how she did.
And like,
I respect it.
It's interesting. So by choice, it sounds like.
Yeah. It was definitely by choice. She didn't want to be married, but she wanted kids.
Yeah. All right. All right. Another thing we asked your mom.
How do you parent differently than your mother parented?
Oh, I'm much more patient because I'm much older. She had my brother when she was 19. It's four boys. So she had my brother, my oldest brother at 19. I'm the youngest. I was born when she was 24. So you see how close in age all those babies are. So she had to wrangle. You know, she was doing it by herself. So she had to wrangle. She had no time for, you know, nuance. you know. Uh-huh. So definitely with my wife and I, being older parents, we're just way more patient because we have more time. We have more money than she did. So we can like pace ourselves and not feel like, you know, we have to just, you know, my mother did a lot of yelling when I was growing up. And, you know, not that we don't ever yell in this house because we do, but it's not our parenting style.
That's not how you would define your parenting style.
Right.
All right. Let's hear what mom had to say.
I'm kind of a tell it like it is. Whereas he might would say, well, we don't use that terminology. You know, with a child, when a child is born, everything you do that first year, you may think it's nothing, but they pick up everything. The simplest part of parenting is being consistent with the same thing all the time. You just do it a different way. But you're doing the same thing.
Mm. Truly words of wisdom.
Yeah,
I'd say.
It was a benefit having a mother who went to school for early childhood education and understands.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time with her when I was growing up at the daycare she worked at. And even as an adult, I would go to her job and observe, not knowing I was learning anything, but observing her interaction with her students taught me so much just about kids in general. Hearing her philosophies on it taught me so much about kids that has been a huge help to me with my own kids. Like, when we dropped our daughter off at daycare for the first time, I knew to just leave, crying, whatever, leave. She'll stop crying 2 minutes.
The second you leave. Right.
You know, don't but the parents who the stuck around because their kid was crying and they didn't want to leave them while they're crying, it was worse. Like the little thing like that, that, you know, that you learn that I didn't realize I was learning have been very, very helpful.
When I dropped my kid off at daycare for the first like 2 weeks, I would stand outside with a timer. And if he cried for more than 5 minutes, I would go back in. And he never once cried for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's interesting. We, our preschool suggested that we create like a ritual, essentially, so that they get used to a rhythm and can kind of like prep themselves emotionally and mentally for the transition out. And that worked wonders. It did take a few weeks to kind of like, and those few weeks are really tough. Yeah. But like, we just created like a little routine. It was like, okay, I'm going to push you on the swings. I'm going to do 3 big pushes. And then on the 3rd push, I'm going to give you a huggy kissy and then I'm out, you know? And so it just, that became the routine. And now he's like, now when he wants me to leave fast, he's like, okay, 3 pushes, huggy kissy, and go daddy, bye. like he just like wants me out of there.
Yeah. And the thing is, all of that is for the parent. Like the parent knows, like your kid's going to cry and then they'll stop when we pull out the crayons and they meet the kids and then in a couple of weeks, they won't cry at all. And they'll be running in here and it'll be fine. And, you know, I learned all that, you know, I observed all that kind of stuff and learned that just, you know, from having a mother who was a preschool teacher. She did older kids sometimes, too, but she mostly was a preschool teacher when I was growing up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and 2 rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So that's a gold star. I forgot to give it to you throughout. I don't know that you got any others, but that's okay. Because you're going in strong, though, because you got 3 stars going into this lightning round. That's pretty high, actually. And so these were kind of quicker like kind of one word or one sentence answers that we got. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. We asked, what was the best gift that he's given?
Oh, what's the best gift? I bought her a car once.
It's a good gift. What'd she say?
He paid my taxes with his first paycheck when he got his first good job.
Okay.
Oh,
that is awesome.
That is awesome.
Okay. Both awesome gifts, but I love that, like, you know, like the sentimentality of
really practical.
But like first good job, like that's, you know, instead of taking the money and being like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to get the next one. Mm-hmm. Pay your mom's taxes. That's so awesome.
But I wonder if a part of that is because of the confidence that she instilled in you. You're like, I know there's going to be more good jobs.
For sure. Yeah. And I did believe that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay. How would she describe you in one word?
How would she describe my, how would my mother describe you? She said this earlier, but maybe kind.
Okay, let's hear it.
Fantastic.
Aww.
Fantastic. My dad always says fantastic, so I love that. Whenever you ask him, like, how are you doing? He goes, fantastic.
That's great. That's a good positive answer.
Who is someone from history you'd have dinner with?
Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, I know who she's going to say, though. You want to say who she's going to say?
Yeah, sure.
Michael Jackson?
Okay.
Probably Shakespeare, I would say. Maybe Shakespeare, I don't know. I'm giving there a go. I'm going to say Shakespeare.
Your favorite fictional character?
Oh, Fonzie.
Well, he always liked the Hulk.
Oh, that's, yeah, we're not yet. That's true, too. That's funny.
Your favorite food growing up?
Well, I don't know what she's got to say, but I'm going to guess if it's when I was really little, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Okay.
Nothing I cooked made him happy. I'm a great cook, but he was a lousy eater. He ate French fries. I think the first 6 or 7 years of his life, he probably ate French fries. And he was a teenager. The first time I saw him eat a salad, I almost cried. I was so happy. But I think he was a teenager. He was one of those bread and jam children. And I used to worry so much about it. And the doctor said, just give him a vitamin and let him eat peanut butter and jelly.
Question for my own personal parenting. How healthy are you these days?
Oh, I'm medium. I'm still a picky eater, but when I was a kid, and I kid you not, this is not an exaggeration, I didn't eat a vegetable before 15, age of 15.
That makes me feel better as a Jewish woman who's always trying to stuff my son's face, is that the kid will not eat anything unless it's pretty much a French fry.
Right.
And knowing that you are a functioning adult makes me feel better.
I just want to say that I noticed, you know, I love that she said that I'm a great cook.
Yeah, she's a
great cook, and he's a lousy eater. So so passing that blame again.
Yeah, but it's true, because I mean, I appreciate her cooking now, but as a kid, no, thank you.
I'm teasing. All right.
What is your mom's favorite food?
Oh, I would say bread, some kind of bread. She loves bread.
I don't know. I don't have a favorite food. I eat everything except pork and beef.
That's true, too.
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite hobby?
Gosh, this is going to sound really pathetic now. I would say watching TV, watching movies, something in that.
Because that's what you have time for now.
Yeah, I mean, but it's always been that way. I grew up in front of the TV, and I love the television. I love movies.
George would be travel.
Oh.
Travel.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
Yes.
That's true. Does she know you more than you do?
Yeah, so I think it's funny because her perspective is so, like mine, I wish I traveled more, but yes, I'm a big traveler, and yes, that is definitely a hobby. The lifestyle.
Favorite musical artist?
Well, that's Michael Jackson. I know she said Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Bam! And by the way, points are doubled in the lightning round, so that's 2 points. 2 gold stars for you. Yep.
By the way, he just wants everything to be a game. It doesn't make any sense. We don't need the stars.
No prize.
It doesn't make the podcast more interesting.
It does.
He just wants to gamify everything because he's a nerd. And we love you for it.
It keeps me on the podcast.
Right.
Your favorite color?
Black.
Bam.
Your mom's favorite color?
Blue.
Damn.
Woohoo.
Damn.
Your pet peeve?
This won't be her answer, but my pet peeve is people who are mean for no reason.
It'll probably be telling a lie, I would think.
I'm not going to give it to you because you just got too many points anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, this is wonderful. I think the last thing I want to just do is your mom gave some, I'm going to flip back to just one question, which is just your mom gave some great advice for new parents. What do you think she said?
For new parents? Oh my goodness. Put your kids first, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to come with all the, you know, the platitudes that people say that I would guess.
Okay, put your kids first. Let's go with that one.
You know, I believe in talking to them the way you're going to talk to them for the rest of their life. I believe in truth, honesty, the right name for everything. I don't believe in calling children kids because I think kids are goats. And I think it's just important what you say to them, how you treat them, and talking is the thing. Talking, letting them see your face, understanding feelings, and all that, you know. And children learn what they live.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah, I think it's the great best way for us to end this. And I love that you talked about over talking as a problem when it's clearly like
it's the solution.
It's the solution.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is great advice. I mean, that doesn't surprise me to hear my mom say that. That is like I said, some things I wish she didn't tell me.
Yeah.
But other than that, it all ended up being for the best.
As we come to a close, Jordan, can you give us as new parents a piece of advice before we go out? Just
everything my mom said for sure. By the way, when my mother says calling things what they are, she means body parts, like not making up names for body.
Yes.
She's referring.
Yeah, yeah.
And she and I differ on the kids versus children thing. I do think it's okay to say kids, even though she's like staunchly against it. I'm like, don't worry about it. You lost that battle. Meaning in the world, in the universe, people call their kids kids and it's not negative.
That's fine.
But my advice is I would say what I felt my mother did right with me is just love your kid. Just make sure that the way you relate to them is through love, because that will make up for a lot of the mistakes. Just them feeling love, because love makes them feel safe and secure. So when things go wrong, they still know like they have that foundation with their parents. That
like even if you're upset at them or frustrated by something, right. lead with love.
Even if you're upset or frustrated about things going on in your own life that makes you not feel like you have time for them or want to deal with whatever's going on, just be loving in that moment. We're all gonna, you know, have our moments, be short tempered, whatever it is, but make sure that your children, when they walk in, when they see you, they don't feel like they have to earn your love. That I always feel like children should take their parents' love for granted, meaning be like, whatever. That, like my attitude growing up was like, that's, of course, mom, you think I'm great. You're my mom. Like what? I don't care that you think I'm great. You have to. That was the feeling I got from it. It was like, no matter what, she was going to love me. And I realized a lot of people don't know that about their parents. And it's like, that's what I would say. Give that to your kids that they can take your love for granted. I know my parents love me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That would be mine.
I love that as a goal. That's a great goal. Well, we love you as well.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Jordan.
And we hope you take it for granted.
Yeah,
I do.
Thank you so much for your time, especially on this busy parenting day.
Of course, it's all good. They're all busy parenting days.
It's true.
Oh, man. What a pleasure.
We knew after we talked to Jordan's mom that she was going to be an inspiring person to have on the show and that we both wanted her to be our mom. But I also want Jordan to be my dad. Like, I feel
he's really into adoption. I think he might be down. what's another kid?
I may be slightly... too old for that.
Maybe. I don't know. We can ask. I mean, like my favorite piece that we didn't talk too much about in the actual pod was that little nugget where she goes, they learn what they live. Mm. And I love that because it's not about the lessons you teach them or the like teacher student relationship thing. It's not that. It's like, what are you living in your life? They are just...
They're absorbing,
they're mimicking, they're sensory beings that are just, they're just trying to mirror what they see because that's how they relate to the world. It's not what they hear or what they're told. So if you just live a life of love, if you live a life of repair
honesty and communication, be the change you want to see in the world, but like be the change.
Be the parent you
want
to.
You want your kids to be as people.
Yeah. Be the people you want to people in the world.
Be the people you want to people is the thing.
I think the important piece to remember, right, is the repair piece after. Because like, by the way, I can repair to my wife super easily. Mm-hmm. Actually, a little bit hard, but relatively easily. I can repair him super easy.
Yeah.
But repairing to my parents, it is tough.
It is so
hard. It is when my ego flares up the most, because like they will never do that for me.
Right.
But I'm just realizing, well, that's not in there. They're not,
it's not their in their Rolodex.
They're not in their, yeah. Like, so I'm going to have to be the mature one and be the people I want to people.
Yeah.
In this moment, it's so hard to do it for both, on both sides. So anyone else that's feeling that, I feel you. And there are times that I totally don't. And it's terrible. But man, in those moments that you do, holy crap, is it such a huge victory for you, and like you're releasing your, you know, whatever you're holding on to in that moment. But then like to be able to do it in front of your kids, like you get to double gold star yourself basically in those moments, because your kid gets to go like gets to see, gets to mirror, gets to mimic that, you know, like, wow, okay, I can do that with my parents.
Wow. You are so gold star driven. It's disgusting.
It's gross. I'm very gray driven. It's disgusting. I agree. And I get 2 gold stars for admitting that. Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
Hey, Mom. So I'm on with the podcast peeps, and I just finished my half of the interview.
You did?
Yes. And so you're on now. We're recording.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
So I heard your answers and your responses. Good job. A+.
Oh, great.
I didn't guess all the same answers as you, but.
What did you answer?
Well, I got the Michael Jackson answer right. I got the favorite colors answers right. I don't know. What else did I get right?
Bathtub.
Yep.
The bathtub story, me telling you, yep. Even though I said I don't remember it that way, but I knew that's the version of it that you remember. So the bathtub, I'm going to be a movie star story.
Yeah.
So I got that one right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
3 it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.